This morning, we're going to be in John chapter 10, and as we, as pastors, were thinking about what's coming up for this year, what are the things that we need to do as a church this year, what we thought is we really need to focus on who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing, what he's about. And we need to do some of that too. And so we've been thinking about how to do that. And we thought, you know, if we could do anything this year, in 2014, if we could do anything, the most important thing that we could do is get people that are inside the church out. We could get people who are inside the church connected with people who are outside the church. We think it would be good for the church. We think it would be good for the people who are in the church. We think it would be good for the people who are outside of the church. And so what we want to do this year is take one Sunday a month to talk about being sent. Get out of the church. That's what we're talking about. Not in a go away and don't ever come back kind of way, okay? Don't hear that. But in a you are sent by Jesus to be involved outside of the church. This can't be the only place that you spend all of your time. And so we're going to be looking at that this morning in John chapter 10. And it, as I was thinking about it, it was reminding me of playing Capture the Flag as I was reading this passage. Because I spent a lot of years in Boy Scouts. And on camping trips, we would go and play Capture the Flag. And in Capture the Flag, you have a mission. Your mission in Capture the Flag is to go to the other team's territory, capture the flag, and get back again. That's the whole thing. You go, get the flag, get back, that's it. Now, they're trying to stop you from doing that, and they're trying to capture your flag at the same time. And so because of that, sometimes you get captured and you get put in jail. And you have teammates who got captured and who are in jail, or they are coming onto your side and you're trying to protect your flag and keep your flag from being captured. And so people that I have played Capture the Flag with tend to get distracted. And they think that the game is don't get caught. Try and stay out of jail. Get all of your guys out of jail. Make sure that you get all of their guys in jail. And they play the game as though that were the mission. To stay out of jail and put the other team into jail. That's not the mission. The mission is get the flag and get back. More than one time, I have won a game because they thought I was going to go get somebody out of jail and free them and bring them back to my side because I was running for the jail. And they went to stop me. And as soon as I turned away from the jail, they stopped pursuing me. Hear this. I was running for the jail and they were chasing me. I turned away from the jail to the flag and they stopped chasing me because they didn't want me to get people out of jail. I grabbed the flag and went running back and nobody touched me because they had all become confused about what the mission is. The mission is get the flag, get back, that's all. Jesus has a mission. We are a part of that mission, and sometimes as Christians we become confused about what our mission is. We believe that our mission is Potluck Sunday, which, by the way, after the service today, there will be a shared meal. That is not the mission of the church. That is a benefit of the church, but it's not the mission of the church. John chapter 10, starting in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus is speaking to everybody at this point. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to the religious leaders. He's speaking to the people who are just standing around and listening, who are kind of confused about who he is and what he's about and what he's doing. They're going, "Who are you? What is this guy?" He's just healed a blind man, a man who had been blind from birth. Jesus came, he healed him, now he can see. And everybody is going, "Who's that guy? We've never seen this before. We've never seen anyone heal a blind man before. Never has anybody heard of a person who was born blind becoming able to see again, and yet Jesus has done this. Who is this guy? Is this guy a prophet? Is this guy somebody else? Who is this guy?" And there's this debate raging with some of the people going, "He is a great prophet. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one from God. He is God's gift to us. He is going to be our Savior." And there are others who are going, this guy is dangerous. We need to stay away from this guy. We need to warn everybody because this guy is dangerous. We don't know what this guy's about. But we don't trust him. And so the religious leaders are going, "We don't trust this guy. Look, he healed him on the Sabbath. He was working on the Sabbath day. No one would do that. You are supposed to rest on the Sabbath day." I guess it's pretty impressive that he did heal the guy. Yes, that's some... I don't know how he did that. But there's no way this guy could be from God because, look, he did it on the Sabbath day. And everybody else is going... He healed a blind man. He healed a blind man, made him able to see. We know that God doesn't listen to people who are sinners, and yet he opened the eyes of a blind man, so something is special about this guy. And there's this debate raging about who Jesus is, and so Jesus speaks to all of them and he says, "Look, I'll tell you who I am. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Think about that for a moment. Think about different areas in your life that you have been in, right? Maybe going back to days where you were at school. And you were in the classroom and there was somebody who was there leading the class, right? Or maybe it was a place of work. Maybe it's in your family, but there's somebody there who's responsible for you. And I think that we have all had this experience that we have had people who have been responsible for us who knew us. And we've had people who were responsible for us who did not know us. And the difference is amazing. Right? Have you been in those classroom situations where the teacher really knew you, understood who you were, knew how you ticked, knew how you thought, really cared about you, came alongside you when you were struggling? I know this isn't like you. And then the other kind of a teacher that's kind of distant, doesn't really know who you are. I think we long for the first, don't we? We long to have someone who's responsible for us, who cares for us, who knows who we are. I regularly ask myself, how did I become the adult? How is it that I'm the one with kids now? How is it that I'm the one who's managing my household now? Why isn't there somebody who's responsible for me like that anymore? Couldn't I just go back home and have somebody be responsible for me, somebody who was taking care of me, somebody who would tell me what to do? It was much more comfortable then. It was much easier then when I had somebody, when I had parents who were telling me, that's not a good idea. And now I'm responsible. Now I'm the one who has kids who are relying on me to tell them whether or not that's a good idea. But I still crave that. I still crave having somebody there who's responsible for me, who knows me, right? Knows the things that I'm good at, knows the things that I'm not good at, knows the areas that I struggle in, and is there to hold me and embrace me and encourage me and take care of me and protect me. And Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. And I know you. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. He's not distant. He's not removed. He's close and near. He's able to be known so that we can know who God is. We can know who Jesus is. We know the heart of Jesus, the things that He's about. And He knows us inside and out. He knows our failings, He knows our weaknesses, He knows our successes, He knows our strengths, and He works with us, and He's right there. And that, I think, is something that we just want that. And He's telling us, this is who He is. I am the good shepherd. He's not a bad shepherd, He's not a mediocre shepherd, He's not a decent shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He knows His own, and His own know Him. Just as the Father knows Him and He knows the Father. And He lays down His life for the sheep. He lays down His life for the sheep. Willing to sacrifice Himself for the sake of His sheep, to protect His sheep, to care for His sheep. He loves the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock, one shepherd. And He's telling this to people who don't want to hear this. Because He's telling this to some Jewish people who are very Jewish. There is one God. There is one God only. There is one nation whom He has blessed. And what Jesus is saying is, yes, that is true. Salvation comes through the Jews. But there are those who are not inside the fold. There are those who are outside, who are not descendants of Abraham. And I must get them and I must bring them in so that they will all have this one good shepherd. So there will be one flock with one shepherd. I must go and I will get them and I will call them with my voice and they will respond. And listen to Jesus' words here. It's not Jesus saying, you know what, there are a lot of people in the world. There are a lot of non-Jewish people, and so I really think it would be a good idea if probably we expanded our horizons and maybe reached out a little bit. It's not Jesus saying, you know, I think I would like to go and get some other people and bring them in so that they can share and have the salvation that comes through the Jews. I think it would be nice if I opened the eyes of the people who are outside the flock of Israel so that they too could see God. It's not a maybe or an I would like to or I think it would be a good idea to or it is my wish that. Jesus says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold and I must bring them also. I must do it, he says. There are people who are not yet included in the fold, who are not yet answering the voice of the shepherd, who must yet hear his voice and be brought in. And Jesus says, I must bring them, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is a great encouragement to me. This is great encouragement to me, first of all, because I am included in those who are outside the flock and are brought in. Right? When we're talking about those who were not of Jewish descent being brought in, that's me. So I'm very, very excited about this passage that now Jesus is saying, I am bringing others in also. I am reaching out so that we can all have one shepherd. We can all be a part of one flock. I'm very excited about that. But here's the other reason that I'm excited about it. Because as Jesus says, I must bring them. And I think about the fact that he is sending his people to bring others in. I think about my struggles with that. My struggle to go out and talk to people about who Jesus is and try to convince them or get them excited about who Jesus is and why it's so important that he came. Right? I'm a pastor, for crying out loud. And that's hard work for me to go outside the walls of this church and talk with people who don't believe in Jesus and try and help them to understand why I care so much about who Jesus is. Why I think whether or not you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the most important thing in the world. That's hard work for me to do. It's hard work for me to do because not everybody wants to hear that. Not everybody wants to talk about that. Not everybody wants to listen to that. And I'm afraid, as eloquent as I am, as much as I might stand up here and wow you with my great verbosity. Look it up. As much as I like to talk in certain contexts, I don't like to talk out there. Because it's uncomfortable, and I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong things, and I'm going to offend somebody, and I'm going to push somebody away. And what this says is not, and I'm going to send my flock out so that they can speak, but it says, I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. Which means when I, as a Christian, am talking with someone who is outside the walls of the church, I am not expecting that they are going to hear and respond to me, but I am expecting that they are going to hear and respond to Jesus. That they will hear his voice. This is why we use the scriptures so much here. Right? You're never going to see me stand up here without the Bible. Because the Bible is the Word of God. And it doesn't mean anything if I just stand up here and tell you all of my great ideas. So I stand up here and I read the Scriptures. Having studied them all week, I read the Scriptures and I help you to understand the things that I am understanding from the Scriptures. Because this is God's Word to us. This is the voice of Jesus that is calling out to us, to which we must respond, to which we will respond. And it is the same voice of Jesus that will be spoken to those who are not yet included in the flock. But who will know him, whom Jesus already knows. He already knows who they are. His voice will speak to them. They will hear it. They will respond to it. They will be brought into the fold because he must do it. There's no ambivalence here. There's no questions here. It will happen. Which gives me great confidence in speaking the words of Jesus, because if they respond or if they don't respond, it's not on me. It's not how eloquent I was or what I said or didn't say, but it is the words of Jesus that will be compelling to someone if they are going to hear the words of Jesus. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Okay. That's cool. Let me read it again, just in case you missed it. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus died on purpose. He chose to. He knew what his mission was. And he was going to accomplish his mission. Look at down a little bit further. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. God the Father spoke to God the Son and said, "This is your charge. You must go and save the sheep." God created the world. Was intimately involved with his creation. And his creation said, "Forget you. I'm going to do my own thing." And God the Father talked with God the Son and said, "They have to be brought back. My people have to be brought back." And God, being intimately involved with his creation, sent God the Son into creation, seeing all of the evils that are there, all of the things that people do to each other. He sent his Son into that so that he might call out his own. Jesus knew what was going to happen when he went. He wasn't confused. He knew what the mission was. I have to go, and I must die so that the sheep can be saved. I have to lay down my life for the sake of the sheep. And so Jesus went in. And he came and he taught them. He was very confusing, because people went, "This guy must be God or something because of all of the great stuff he can do." And at the same time, they're going, "He doesn't fit in any of our boxes. This guy doesn't make any sense to us. We got to get rid of him." And there's all this confusion that surrounds him. And finally, they said, "Yep, we just got to be done with him and get rid of him because he's dangerous." What, is he going to heal somebody? Yeah. And lead them all astray. Everybody's going to follow after him if we don't get rid of him. And so they got rid of him and they killed him. The only thing that they could accuse him of was that he claimed to be the Son of God. That's it. They couldn't accuse him of any other sin. They had nothing. The only thing that they could do is say he's claiming to be the Son of God. In fact, later in this very chapter, in verse 24, "So the Jews gathered around him and said, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish.
and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, and I and the Father are one." And they were pissed because he said this. They couldn't believe it. You're claiming to be God, and he says, "Look at the stuff I'm doing. I'm not just claiming it, I'm showing you." And they said, "You've got to die." And so they killed him. But nobody took his life. Nobody had the authority to take his life away from him. He laid it down so that he could take it back up again. He was crucified on the cross, buried in the grave, and rose up again after 3 days. Because that was his mission. Just like the mission is not stay out of jail or put other people in jail when you're playing capture the flag, the mission is go, get the flag, get out. Jesus came, he died, he rose again from the dead and said, "Come on, sheep, let's get out of here." And all his sheep went, "Amen."
Amen.
Well, kid, there's one sheep in here. This was the mission of Jesus. "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This is the charge I have received from my Father. This is the thing that we believe as Christians. And there are some of you here this morning who have never heard the voice of Jesus calling you before. But you may be now. The voice of Jesus is calling out, "Come on. Believe that I died for you." There are others of you here who have believed that for a long time. And there are others who are not yet in this flock that must be brought in. And they're not going to listen to your voice. But they will listen to the voice of Jesus. This morning we get to celebrate communion together. And the reason that we do this on the first Sunday of every month is because it reminds us of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It reminds us that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead so that we might be saved from our sin. So that we might be brought into relationship with the Good Shepherd. So that we might know him and he knows us. And so we do this every week. And so this morning, if that's what you believe, I would encourage you, as the worship team comes up to sing, to lead us in the next song, would you come and take the bread and the cup back to your seat? There's a table here and there's a table in the back, so you can go to whichever one is closest. And then after the next song, I'll come up and we'll take it all together to remember this together. And if this is not something that you believe, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins, then you can just sit in your seat. We don't expect you to be hypocritical and take this as though you believed it. But you can just sit and reflect on some of the things that I said this morning and the words of the song. Enjoy the music as we who believe do this together. So let's now go to the Lord in prayer.